Good morning, church. Indeed, Lord, have your way. I'm taking the word today, and I thank God for this opportunity. Thank the pastor, the ministers for the opportunity. And may God help us as we go into his word. And I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12, and it says, "For the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's our prayer today, that this will be our portion this morning or afternoon as we go into the word. I've entitled my message as The Weapons of Our Warfare. So I'm going to take my preaching from the book of 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So that is where I'm basing my, for the weapons. We know weapons, I've defined weapons as an object used for fighting. And we see in the Bible, from the book of 1 Samuel, verse 17:49, when David used just a stone to kill Goliath. So that means anything. It doesn't mean that it can only be a knife or gun or anything. And then in the book of Judges 7:19, we see the story of Gideon. He only had 300 men, and all they had were a ram of horns, clay of jars, and a blazing torch as weapons. They didn't have any other weapons, and God still gave them victory. And this shows us that God can use any item of object to become a powerful weapon. And for that, we need faith. So all they had in common was faith. They knew that God had sent them, and they knew whatever they used would bring victory. And then I've defined stronghold as a place that is well defended, or an area in which a particular belief is shared by many people, or it can even be, strongholds can also be sickness, those curses, things that, you know, everything goes wrong, at the edge of breakthrough, something goes wrong. So that is how I'm going to be talking about. So I'm going to go into what weapons we can use to destroy strongholds. So we are going to go into prayer this morning, and I want every one of us to cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. The Bible says the blood of Jesus has power. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you this morning. We give you all the glory, we give you all the praise. As we go into this spiritual warfare this morning, Father, I pray, Father, for the blood of Jesus upon every one of us and our children, Lord God. Father, that you should provide a covering in the name of Jesus. May we be not just the hearers of your word, but the doers of it in Jesus' name. As for many of us that have been bound in any sort of stronghold or powers, Father, I pray that today as they seek you, they will find a relief to their problems in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So, and I've named what weapons we can use to destroy stronghold, and I've said the name of Jesus. In Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 21, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 21, Bible says the name of Jesus is above every other name. So there is no other name but Jesus. But we see today, but it's not the name of Jesus itself. You have to say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because there are so many Jesuses. We know now that it's used as a swear word. Whenever you watch movies, even people that are not Christians, they see Jesus Christ. Everybody is saying Jesus Christ, but which Jesus Christ are you really talking about? So it's Jesus Christ of Nazareth that was born of the Virgin, died on the cross, and rose again after 3 days. That is the name that has power. And everything bows to that name. According to Philippians 2:9-11, the name of Jesus is above every other name, and every knee shall bow into that name, that we shall, every knee shall have to bow. Sorry, that's Philippians 2:9-11 says that every knee shall bow I've had testimony of those that have been in their kingdom of darkness. They say that when they're in the presence of Satan or something, they say the name of Jesus, everybody falls on the ground. That shows how powerful the name of Jesus is. So every knee, every sickness, every demonic powers have to bow into that name. And therefore we have faith in knowing that he who began a good work in us is faithful. And as long as you use by faith, and everything has to be used by faith. Otherwise, if you say name, it can't work unless you use it by faith. Okay, the next weapon is the blood of Jesus. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 to 23. Exodus 12, 21 to 23. This was the demonstration. This was the first demonstration of the power of the blood. You know, the Bible says that the angel of death passed over. When they had to do was put the blood on their doorpost, and they had to believe that it would work. And so the angel of death passed. And every door that did not have the mark of the blood was what? They all died. So we have victory in the blood of Jesus. And then in the book of Revelation 12:11, it shows us that we can overcome stronghold by the power of the blood. So if you call, you know, sickness, there are some times, if you call the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, that situation has to stop, to change, because we are sons of God and we have been given power and authority. Remember, we are looking at that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So if you use them by faith and you declare, the situation has to change. And then in the book of 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in power to pulling down strongholds. So that means, that's the same thing we are talking about, that they are not, they have to pull down strongholds. We see in the book of Judges how Gideon was the son of who? A cultic man, or a Baba. In Africa, we call them Baba or Juju man. And they had the Asherah pole, and they had Baal, the god Baal. The gods that God did not like or did not ask them to worship, they were in their compound. And what did he do? He had to pull down. Before God would act, he had to physically pull down those strongholds. So he had to pull down the Asherah poles, use it as fire, and the Baal God's stronghold. And then on top of it, build an altar of God. And that is when God came and delivered the people. So the Bible says the weapons, we are still looking at the weapons of our welfare. They are not carnal. So, and God can use anybody, child, adult. It doesn't matter who it is, as long as you have faith and you are a child of God. And then the next weapon is angels. We see in Psalm 91, verse 11 to 12. Psalms 91, verse 11 to 12. God reassures us that he will command his angels so that our feet are protected from stones. And then in Hebrews 1:14, it says that angels are ministering spirit sent forth. So we saw that in the book of John, when John's father got a message that he'll give birth to a son. It also shows us that Mary received a message from an angel, Gabriel, so because they are all ministering angels. And then we see from Mark, the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 11. After an encounter with Satan, the angels came to minister to Jesus. So Mark 4, 11, and he said to them, to you it has been given, sorry. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside, all things come. No, it's Matthew 4:11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So they came to help him or to minister to him or to give him encouragement or to support him. Then in the book of Revelation 12:7, we see Michael and his angels fighting with the dragon. That is the war in heaven. So that we know, so this will come later, but we know that if the angels are fighting, so they are able to fight for us. I'll give you a story of my friend. She was praying for her mother's church in Africa, and she was almost giving up. So her time was spent in praying. So in the evening, they would have their supper. She put the dishes on the table, and then after the children went to bed and her husband, she would continue praying. So she would not wash the dishes, and then she would fall asleep and go to bed. And after some time, she was getting discouraged, and guess what? She just fell asleep. And the next thing she knew, at the back garden, she saw two angels. And one of them was telling the other, "I've been sent to that house." And she pointed, and the angel pointed to my friend's house. And he or she said that he's been sent there, but the house is too dirty. There's nowhere to step. She woke up and she was so shaken, and she cleaned her house. And that's how God brought the victory. So the situation was sorted out. So angels are sent, whether we know it or whether we like it, or maybe when we are sleeping, you've been crying for God to go for that situation. You wake up, angels are sent because he is God. Only he knows. And then the book of Joshua chapter 5 verse 13. An angel stood before Joshua with a sword drawn. And then in verse 19, the angel introduced himself as the commander of the army of the Lord. Isn't it beautiful to have an angel fighting over your life or for you? I moved to Leicester in 2001, and I lived in a place called Belgrave. You know, there's a lot of Asians there. And one thing I had just got born again. I think I was a baby in the Lord. And everything, I would go to bed, I would see this. There was a flyover then. The landscape has since changed. And I'd only see an angel, a big man with an angel with a sword drawn. And I was so scared. I didn't have a church. I didn't know anybody. I just got born again. And I thought, backsliding. I felt like the door had been shut. So I had no point, no way. But I kept praying for myself. I kept praying. I didn't have a church. I didn't know what to do. But God, I don't know what God was doing. And I don't know why I saw the angel. But all I did was to pray for that place. And I still do. And I know God will continue to do some wonderful places. And surprisingly, where we lived, at the end of the street, that's where in October when they are doing their procession or whatever, they will stand at that particular place, you know, at the end of the street, where at the end of the street, and they would do some, I don't know what they would do, but, you know, God was faithful. Because in ignorant, before they would do, I'll go there and save the blood of tears, but thank God for protection. I was ignorant, but I believe and I know that God was doing something, and for that angel, they was doing whatever he had come to do, he did it. But I give glory to God that I'm alive today. So the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 5. And this is the story of when Peter was locked up in prison and the church was praying for him, and an angel was sent to his aid. So this shows us there are so many more references to angels, but that is what I have come up with about angels. So we know angels are there to protect, because Michael and the angels fought with the dragon. And then we have the next point is the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19. When the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. So we have protection from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always alert us in dangerous situations and help us fight. A few weeks ago, I had this dream, and I had a dream that somebody was giving me flowers. And the last time my dad had that dream, that somebody was giving him flowers, his sister died. So I woke up that day, I was troubled, I didn't know what to do, and I was really careful. And I was driving on Hinckley Road, there's a set of traffic lights. I don't know what happened, but I went through, and suddenly there was a car coming from my right. That one passed, but the next one we met in the middle, and I said, "Oh God, what do I do?" And suddenly I had three of my children, and two of them said, "Mommy, you've been snapped." So I thank God. You know, I kept feeling bad. I was so, now my license, I've been good for 3 years. Now what's happened? But I thank God that I would rather have the points taken off than the tragedy that would have happened. I just thank God that the first one passed before I got there, and the second one gave me time to pass. And I thank God for his, you know, for the Holy Spirit because he had quickened my heart, and I had prayed. And I thank God that maybe somebody somewhere was also praying for us. And then the Bible says he gives us the right words to speak and quickens our spirits with the correct weapons to use. For example, in Mark chapter 13, verse 11. Mark 13, verse 11. Mark 13, verse 11. And he says, but when they arrest you and deliver you, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So we have seen people have been convicted this day and age because of things that are politically correct. These days you can't say some things because you are branded homophobic or racist, or you don't know what to do. But as long as God has said it is evil and is not good, he will give you the right words to say. Then in the book of Judges 14, verse 19. Judges 14, verse 19. And Judges 15, verse 14 and 15. We see the Spirit coming upon Samson and helped him. And he killed thousands of his enemy. So he gave strength to Samson to kill his enemies. And this shows us that all things are possible with the Holy Spirit in control. So once he's in control, we come to church and say, Holy Spirit, take control. And then when he can decide to do whatever he wants to do. And then the next bond is the Word of God. The Word of God. Ephesians 6:17. It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we have the Word of God. So it is written. The Bible says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So it has power. And we destroy stronghold using the Word of God. For it is written, two cannot walk together unless they are in agreement. So if the stronghold or the powers affecting a person are not in agreement with you. You know, there are sometimes people will do things. I went to Africa last year, and my mother, you know, the second day after we landed, she decided to tell me of all the bad things people have involved themselves in, all satanic and evil power, evil demonic worship. And that put me... It was scary. So I was pregnant and I kept telling her, I'm never leaving the house. I don't want them to take my baby out of. That is all I could think of. And I lived in fear from that day on. And I think I got sick. And my husband was telling me the other day, when we go to Africa, you were always sick. I think it's my mother's friends. But I never told her that it was my own self. Because everything she said and everything they met with women, they were like, oh, where is your mother? Where is your wife? I said, I'm not living. So for 5 weeks, I lived in that house in fear. I lived in fear. I couldn't attend church. But I thank God. And every night, the Holy Spirit still continued to, you know, encourage me that I should not fear. But for some reason, I couldn't help it. But the Bible says, strongholds. I made an agreement with fear, so that is how I lived for those five good weeks. And I thank God that I'm alive to tell the story. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Therefore, whatever we bind has to obey. Because of the agreement we have that with our tongue, whatever you confess has to come to pass, whether good or bad. That's why we have to be careful. The thoughts and the things that come out of the mouth can either be for healing or for death. And then there is prayer. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 8:18. And he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So prayer has power to demolish stronghold. It doesn't matter what. Remember, we are talking about stronghold. We don't do sickness, curses, whatever they are, they'll demolish stronghold. You know, one thing my mama used to believe was she'd wake up at 6 and go for mass, and she believed that every time, that as long as the priest was taking the Holy Communion, as long as she looked at it, she was protected. And she'd believe that every time she partook the Holy Communion, she was protected. And that's how she did every morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, they wake up at 3, 6 o'clock, she was in church praying. And she really did it, you know, with all her strength and with all her. And I thank God for her life. And in the books of Acts 12, verse 5, this is when the church was praying for Peter. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And then we see in verse 7 says, "Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands." So we see that prayer given by yourself or prayer given by some people can change situations, and God can do things. And then I have another one of worship. In Acts 16, verse 25, we see Paul and Silas. We are praying and singing hymns to God. And suddenly, an earthquake shook the doors open. Then the next one I have is testimony. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. So testimony, when you testify, the enemy can do nothing. It's already completed. It is already done. So he has no way but to move away or to vacate. And then the next one is thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6-7. The book of Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. So with thanksgiving, we can think, you know, sometimes we have to give thanks even before the situation changes. If you give thanks, your mind, your body, your spirit, everything is is giving thanks. Situation can change. Then I have concluded in saying, nothing on this earth will ever move God. We see in the book of Genesis chapter 19, when God could no longer stand sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, he acted by sending fire and destroyed every one of them. He cannot stand sin. He is God. He does as he pleases. So it's not a wonder, you know, when we see things that are happening and we are like, oh, God has God forgotten? No, he hasn't. Remember Genesis 19. And then when the people of the earth wanted to build a tower of Babel to reach God, what did he do? He confused their language. So in every situation, that whatever we are seeing happening in this world, everything that is happening all over the place has already happened before, and God has already intervened. So we see the Tower of Babel, they were trying to do things, they would try to go to speak, they would try next, they've been to the sun, they've been to, I don't know, the next one, maybe they would try to get to heaven. God knows whether what confusion will come upon. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 24, this is when David decided to count the people, and 70,000 men died because of these sins. So all he did was take a census of everybody in the land. Even though his commander had said no, he decided to do it, and guess what? 70,000. And the Bible does not tell us that any of his children died. No. So whatever laws, if we don't pray, watch and pray, if we don't stand in the gap, if we don't pray for our nations, we'll be the ones affected. It doesn't tell us that David lost any of his children or his wife after the census. So you can imagine the laws that are being passed in number Downing or Parliament or whatever they are doing. There are consequences, whether we like it or not. To date, you know, last month on the 30th, they said up to that, the 30th of May, 2019, that was last month, of 100 young men, 25 and under, had died. Knife crime, gang crime. Today, I think it was yesterday, a woman, eight-month pregnant woman, was knifed, I think shot or knifed, and they had to take the baby out. The baby is fighting for its life. It's life in hospital, but the mother is dead. We have to wake up and pray, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in power. In the memory stronghold, we've been given the authority and the power. Don't get it until it's too late, and you know you are in UK, and God has sent you here to stand in the gap. I remember in Tanzania, our neighboring country, when the colonialists came, This is what they did. They went to a witch doctor and they washed themselves with water. They call it Maji Maji Rebellion. Maji Maji is water. So they, as long as they had bathed in water, they knew that no gun would come before them. And so they marched, and the colonialists were shooting at them, and they died because of ignorance. Let's not be ignorant of the devil's devices. They are there, they are cunning, he'll try this. Once those laws are, our children will be dying. Once this one is, something else will be dying. Don't let us be affected by things that we do, that we do not do. We see in the book of Jonah, that after Jonah delivered his message to Nineveh, the people repented and God saved them. So there's hope that if people, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name shall repent, humble themselves before me. We are the people that God has called. The other church, if we pray together, don't be discouraged that they are stopping churches, they are putting us down and down, and they are, other religions are coming up, but we have a hope in a God that he sees all. And he is a faithful God. And he is always there. And remember, we have been given so many weapons, which other other religions don't have. They don't have angels, they don't have the blood, they don't have Jesus, but we have it. Now, this session, I want us to pray that for any area of your life, there are situations that you pray 2016, the same situation, 2017, he followed you, 2018, 2019, here you are. You're still praying over the same situation. We have the weapons of our warfare. If there are angels, there's Jesus, there's the name of Jesus, there's the blood of Jesus. We are going to use those weapons right now. We are going to stand and we are going to pray. We are going to pray that God will hear us today in the name of Jesus. And before we get into, and the first prayer point I would like us to ask is for as many women that are suffering with fibroids. Everywhere I've had, it's terrible for those that are going through that situation. You may know somebody, you don't know. One of my aunties went through a hysterectomy, and it was, she's in her 50s, but let's pray for our women. You never know whether it will be your wife, it will be your mother, your sister that's going through that. Let's stand up on our feet and I pray for every lady in our midst, in our church, or we know of, in our places of work, that the God will find, that spirit of, fibroids will be destroyed from its roots. Remember, we have the blood of Jesus to use as a weapon. We have the name of Jesus. We have angels. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and petition him that this one has to, for any of our ladies in this church that are struggling, for any of our family members that are fighting this demonic power, that it, in the name of Jesus, remember the Bible says, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Everything pulled down, let's pull them down by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, we refuse to have any of our ladies suffer from that fibroids in the name of, we render it powerless from, by the power of the blood, no more. In the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus, we refuse to have our children, our aunties, our mothers, our sisters suffer with this one. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray that none of us will lose any part of their bodies because of this thing. That whatever God has to do, whether it shrink them, whether it destroy them, whatever it has to do, let him do it today in the name of Jesus. Father, take all the glory, take all the fire. In the name of Jesus, remember, Father, you say that whatever we ask, Father, it shall be done unto us. Father, we declare healing in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we declare healing for as many that are suffering in the name of Jesus. Bring healing, bring us. Let us ask that God will give us a solution. Whatever chemicals that are causing this, that Father God, you take over. You take control, Father, from their source in the name of Jesus, Father. Take over. Oh, Father, we pray. Father, we pray, Father, that you will liberate them, give them victory, give them freedom, give them peace, a peace of mind to know that no more suffering, no more pain, no more blood loss. Nobody has to lose blood. In the name of Jesus, Father, we declare that call. Whatsoever we ask, Father, you shall do it in the name of Jesus. Bring healing, bring a relief, sign of relief. No more medication. Father, that Father, from their root, Father, you deal with these powers in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, take over, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of, no more pain. Let's pray that no more pain, no more suffering, no more loss of blood. We declare that the blood of Jesus will speak. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. That means the blood of human can also speak. But we declare that the blood of Jesus will take, provide a covering for these ladies. Father, in the name, take over, Lord, in the name. Father, we declare healing in the name. I pray the deliverance in Jesus. Oh, Father, come and take care of the glory. Take all the glory. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Let us also pray for any of our situation. You, maybe you have a situation you've been praying for year after year after year, especially, you know, health. May it be health. I don't know what it is. I'll give you 5 minutes to pray for that situation, that God will turn it around. Use the weapon. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty in power. That means they have power to demolish. If God could use a stone to kill Goliath, Father, in the name of Jesus, destroy that situation, that problem. May it be housing, may it be academic, may it be finances. Father, take over. It may be your family, it may be your friend you're standing in the gap for. Pray that God will intervene. For God's intervention, that today, as we have learned that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that stronghold has to go by the power of the blood. That stronghold has to go in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, that stronghold has to move by the word. For it is written, that stronghold cannot stand anymore. Father, in the name of Jesus, come. Let there be relief for every one of us, Father, for a situation, for condition, for whatever we are going through. Pray, people. Let's begin to push with sacrification. The Bible says we don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit will take over. Holy Spirit, come and take over. God, overcome every situation. Spirit of the living God, we have heard that we don't know how to pray, but you will pray through us, Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy machine, Basanda, Ramashindere, Bashikanta, Rabababa, take all the glory from Mashindere, Basaka. Oh, Father, we ask for that blood to intervene. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, intervene in every situation, every circumstance, every hindrance. Father, may that situation change in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, you said you provide a covering. The blood of Jesus will always provide a covering. Oh, Father, we praise you, Father. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. Let's also pray. Immigration situations. If you've never been through the immigration, they showed a program last week. How people have to pay thousands. There were three specific African ladies that some of them had to go home and apply to come back, and yet they were married. That God will intervene. I have a relative of my mother I know. From 2016, he lost his father. Last 2017, he lost his father. 2018, his sister-in-law. And last year, he lost a nephew. And he couldn't travel. Why? Because of immigration situation. But God will intervene. For as many of us that are struggling, if you don't know anybody, pray for my mother-in-law's cousin. He's called Philip. That God will intervene on his behalf. He's almost going mad. His mother is really ill. That God will intervene. Father, in the name of Jesus, concerning everybody that is going through immigration situation, Father, that you turn around. Let there be a turnaround. That God will grant this one's favor. That God will grant them mercy. It's a human being that sits down and decides who is to come and who is to go. That God will intervene. Let the God touch the heart of man, that man or woman, that to deal with this application. May it be renewals, may it be granting stay to live or to stay, whatever it is. That there be no more giving of money, and no returns. And they cancel the spirit of rejection, rejected application, that God will reverse them. Father, intervene. Father, Lord, in the name, come and intervene, Father, for our students, Father, for as many that are longing to come and study, that God will open doors. Maybe we know some people that want to come and study, that God will grant them the visas to come. Father, intervene. Concerning every situation, Father, in migration situation, for many that are crying financially, Father, they have exhausted their finances because of this situation. But God, you will intervene. You will provide a cover. In the name of Jesus, Father, provide a turn around in Jesus. Bring healing. The Bible says he's a way maker, miracle worker. promise keeper. That what we have asked and we have come in agreement, he has to be done. The Bible says that his word that comes from out of his mouth will never come back to him void without accomplishing that which he sent it to accomplish. So let's ask God to intervene. And he alone can intervene. Divine intervention. Father, intervene, oh God, in the name of every situation, God, come and take your place. Come. Father, intervene concerning every migration situation, concerning every financial, maybe education, or somebody struggling to go to it. They don't know if they're beginning from the end. Father, intervene. God, intervene. In Jesus' name. Let's also pray for those of us in our amazing race that are feeling discouraged, lost hope, feeling stressed, depressed. For any of us that are, you know, I met a lady, I didn't know she had a brother, but her brother has been depressed for so long, and they had decided to lock him somewhere and forget he ever existed. That God will intervene concerning every situation, every member of, if it's not you, maybe you know somebody depressed, for every member of a mate that is feeling stressed, depressed, suffering even from depression or mental health, that God will intervene and bring healing. The Bible says that Jesus healed a man that has a legion, you know, a legion of demons. That God said, in the name of Jesus, those situations, circumstances have to change. They're uplifting. Sometimes they say it's a cloud. That cloud has to be lifted and people to be set free. Let's pray that God will set us free. Our friends, our relatives, our members, that God will say, you know, we see people that are in church, out of church, and we don't know what is happening. That God will intervene. Every difficult situation, mental, health-wise, that God will specifically intervene. Father, come and take your glory. Father, intervene. Let the blood begin to intervene. Blood of Jesus of Nazareth. Begin to intervene in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has power to demolish stronghold, remember? And the Spirit of God, come and give us the grace to pray. You know, pray through us, Holy Spirit, to bring a relief. Some people are suffering. Some cannot talk. We don't want anybody to be suicidal. Father, we pray, Father, for as many that are going through one situation or another mentally, Father, that you bring a relief to them in the name of Jesus. Stress at work, stress because of finance, stress of everything that they are going through. Father, help them. Help our people in the name of Jesus. Bring a relief, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And finally, let's pray for our youth. That during this, whatever is going on, knife crime, gang crime, that none of us, will not bury any of our youth, our children, or even our university students that are soon to come, that amazing grace will never moan, you know. Let's not wait until it happens, then we pray. Let's pray before it happens. Remember, we say that with thanksgiving, that we can testify, we can use the weapons of testifying, with the weapons of thanksgiving. Let's pray that so far, none of us have been faced with that calamity, and none of us will be caught up with that in the name of Jesus. And even for the little young ones, that when they go to school, nursery, they will not fall over and injure themselves. You know, some people just fall and they die. No, it will not be our portion in Jesus' name. That God will protect us. God will shield us from all harm in the name of Jesus. In the name that is above any name, Father, Lord, we pray that our people are protected. They will not be where they shouldn't be. They will not be at the wrong place or a right place. That whatever, Father, you give them, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will convict us. You know, the Holy Spirit will, and we have seen that he will guide us. He will, you know, quicken us not to go to places where we shouldn't go. Father, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Father, help. Intervene in every situation and bring us.